Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome, one and all, to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thank you for being here on yet another episode. We have some great guests, as you can see in front of us. And before we get too deep into who they are and what we're going to talk about today, you can contact me through email. That's fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. That's probably the best way to get a hold of me. This is a pre-recorded show, but I'll be usually watching along, so feel free to comment as the show goes, and I will kind of comment away as well and can have some dialogue that way. But today we're going to talk about FSHD in the viewpoint or vantage point of early onset. This is actually a part of the disease that has not really been talked about yet on this show. It's kind of a shame on me, I mean, really, because I know this has been out there, and I know this is something we should have talked about a long time ago, and maybe in one of the earlier episodes, to be honest with you. But it's long overdue. It has a lot of value to it, and I think it is definitely something that needs to be talked about. I'm excited to talk about it because, for all the reasons I mentioned, I think it's something that has to be pushed more to the forefront because this is a part of our community that maybe some people are not totally aware of, because FSHD affects people usually later in their life, in their 40s and whatnot. So kind of forget about, how about the younger generation that's being affected? So today we welcome in Allie and Kristen, and they're about the early onset chapter. So I welcome them both to the show. Thanks, guys, for being here, spending some time with us to get this episode out.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is, I can't help but like look at my own self and go, like, why has this not been something that we've had guests on to talk about more? We've kind of glazed over the topic of young people that have this disease. How does it affect their life differently? What are we as a community doing to help? I hate to say kind of a forgotten part of the disease, but I feel like it is. And you know, we'll maybe target a little bit of that question as we go along. But first, tell us a little bit about yourselves so the listeners kind of get to know you guys. Who wants to start? Allie, you want to shoot first?
Sure, I'll start. My name is Allie Rhodes. I live in Tucson, Arizona. I have a 16-year-old son who has early onset FSHD. He was diagnosed when he was 6 years old. He's a spontaneous mutation, so he's the first in the family. So when he was diagnosed, I really had no idea even what FSHD was, you know. And just like every other parent that's sort of hit with that kind of news, and you're not aware and you're not informed, I kind of Googled things up and tried to learn the best I could on what was going to happen with him and how things might go. And you're right, there's not a lot of information about the early onset, stuff. We're sort of a rare disease within a rare disease. Most of the FSH affected individuals, it presents itself, you know, farther on in life, or, you know, later in life. So those kids that are affected with early onset normally are more severe. Their trajectory, I think, is, and I don't know, and that's the other thing that's so important about this early onset chapter, is because there's so few of us and we're scattered throughout the entire globe, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to get together with other FSHD families, early onset families, and sort of compare notes and talk about how your child is doing. And Kristen, she reached out to me probably 2 years ago. She just had seen something that Sam had published or something online, and we got together and started talking. And I think that's very valuable. It's very valuable for parents just to talk to one another, say, hey, what's going on with your kid? What have you learned? How's things going? And that's pretty much the whole thrust behind forming this chapter, is to get parents together, give them information, have a place where we can get together and talk, learn about research, learn about, hey, this worked for my kid, this resource is out there. You know, no parent should feel alone. No parent should sit at home and not have questions and not know where to go to for answers. So hopefully we can fill that void And, you know, we don't know all the answers, and we're just parents, and you know, we're doing the best we can, but we can certainly learn from one another. And we have the FSHD Society as a great resource. If we don't know the answer, we can go to somebody there, and they have a great network, and they can usually find someone who can give us, at least point us in the right direction or give us some answers. So I'm really excited about this chapter. I'm really excited about, you know, connecting with other parents.
Christine, do you have anything to add into there? I know we talked about the connection you two have a little bit and how that, and that started, and maybe from your viewpoint of early onset.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Kristen Zwicko. I live in Boston, Massachusetts. Allie and I feel like we're best of friends, but we've actually never met face to face. We've talked for 2 years and have never actually got together, but the support that we have between us is something that I treasure and lean on. So my daughter, same story as Allie. She was diagnosed at 6. It was something that was out of the blue. It was like getting the diagnosis in the doctor's office was like getting run over by a Mack truck. It's like, what? And so navigating it, like Ali said, when your child's given a diagnosis like that and you've never heard of it, never even met anyone with muscular dystrophy at all, what do you do? And so I spent the first 3 weeks, probably didn't sleep, contacting every scientist, every doctor, every single person who I could, one of them being June with the FSH Society, and then also many of the scientists in Netherlands and Rochester and anywhere and everywhere, anyone who would talk to me, just to try and figure out, what do? Like, there is no book. There is no, you know, we were given the diagnosis by Children's Hospital in Boston. They're fantastic, but they're like, it's all going to be fine. It's like, well, no, it's not. And so what do? How do you prepare? How do you charter life and give this child the most normal possible life you can under the circumstances? So, you know, that was where I started to reach out to every parent I could find on Facebook to try and figure out, what did they do? How are they navigating it? And it's hard. Everyone has a different idea and a different way in which they're dealing with it, because there is no way or no one common resource to come together to try and talk about, like, what do? Half the, you know, Dr. Tawal, when we took Caitlin to Rochester, said, you know, what's really interesting is 5 years ago, I would have told you to take her home and don't let her work out. Don't let her exercise.
Yeah.
Don't let her move. Like, just let her be. And he's like, but today I'm telling you to go home and keep her in physical therapy, keep her moving. And, you know, so it's like, it's that when you talk to parents with kids that are in their 30s that have been navigating this, they talk about that. They never had their kids do physical therapy. They never put their kids into any activities. They just were told, like, muscular dystrophy for Duchenne's, go home and don't do the physical activity because it's not going to help. It's going to damage them more. And so, like, little things like that that keep changing as this disease gets more and more known, how does the things we're learning about the adult onset translate into helping the kids navigate things and keep them active and stronger for longer, you know, and keep them moving forward with the new knowledge we have and applying it to the early onset. That's the challenge. We have a lot going on in the adult. It's not translating to the early.
Right. Well, the only thing that I think is exactly common is your story of the diagnosis. I mean, I wasn't even given a pamphlet. So, you know, usually you got this, oh yeah, go look in this, or do that. It's like, yeah, you have this. And then you get this speech about not life-threatening, but life-shortening. And I'm like, what the hell's the difference? So
yeah.
I can't imagine when I'm rationalizing that as a 40-year-old man, how is a child supposed to wrap their head around, okay, you have this. So first, though, a lot of questions firing for me as you guys are telling your stories. And one of them that popped up is, I know, Allie, you said that, Sam, your son, that's a mutation, right? A spontaneous mutation. Is that right?
Yeah. So he was tested pretty early on that I've been in the community and known some more FSH patients. A lot of them go for long periods and not really know what's wrong with them. I guess so. I guess we're lucky in that instance that he was diagnosed right away. But, you know, we just didn't know where to go to from there. And so he was diagnosed. He has an older brother who he's 10 years older than him. He's fine. Mm-hmm. But we didn't get tested. And then we recently did the Peter Jones saliva test. The whole family did it.
Yeah.
And the three of us, you know, his dad, me, his older brother, we're not carriers. We don't have, you know, so, and then they just sort of labeled him as spontaneous mutation based on that.
It's a mystery though, Tim. So we got tested, my husband, myself, right down to sperm and eggs, and there's nothing. It just happened to be a chemical reaction, but you know, I'm not a scientist and didn't do really well in the whole area of my academic life. So who am I to question? But, you know, they call this a genetic disease. So it's just very strange that these kids get this mutation. And that's what you hear in the community over and over again. These are not typically kids that are coming from a family member that has had it, or that there's any type of any genetic order for this. It's just, it just happened. You just got that lucky number.
Now, what do you think the numbers are? Maybe Allie might know this more because, you know, you are involved with the group and maybe this community a little more. Around pre-show conversation, you kind of alluded to that, but do we kind of know what the percentage is of young people out there that have FSHD?
You know, I've heard different numbers, maybe 5 to 10% mm-hmm. of the FSHD affected are early onset. But I have heard, now that I'm talking to a lot more early onset families, that a lot of them are spontaneous mutations. Like if it presents itself, if they have a bigger deletion and they present themselves earlier, a lot of those, a high percentage, and I don't know what that percentage is, but I would bet that it's very high, are spontaneous mutations for whatever reason. I had a really good conversation with Peter Jones not long ago, and he sort of broke it down to me. It's just sort of a combination of the larger mutation and then the lesser methylation on the cells. It's just a bad combination for those early onset. And so they present earlier, their progression is quicker, and usually they're a lot more severe than the later onset. FSHers.
That's just fascinating to me, because I'm like you, Kristen. I'm like, I don't know a lot about science. And every time I've had the scientists on, you know, I'm always like, and June is usually the one, you know, that sends them. And I'm like, really, June, another scientist? Okay, all right. And I'm trying to get my head around it, and questions out there, and try to get in that level of understanding this. And I always seem to get stuck back to the human side of it. I'm not trying to be insensitive to the scientists, but not just the cellular level of this. Like, I find this affects people, physically, but it kind of digs in deeper and kind of grows roots on the emotional side of it all. Kind of messes with your head a little bit, your confidence, amongst other emotions and things on top of the physical. So from a parent aspect, you know, what do you find? I've asked this to people that have the disease. Do you find that there's a struggle emotionally more or physically? From the vantage point of a parent, you know, how would you answer that? Is it affecting either your child or even yourself, right? More one way or the other, physical versus emotional.
Well, I think, you know, one of the hardest things in the world is to watch your kid go through something you can't help them. I mean, I can't think of anything worse. It's just really hard. Mm-hmm. It is. And you kind of go through ups and downs, just like our kids go through ups and downs. You know, I scream at the sky, why did this happen to my kid? And he has gone through that. But, you know, you try to just, you know, concentrate or put the emphasis on the positive and what you can do. And he's got a great attitude despite it all. Again, he does have his moments, and he has over the years, but mostly, you know, and for me, what helps me is being involved in like the FSH Society and mm-hmm. to talk into research and being active, like trying to be proactive. You know, I'm not, I guess it's just not my personality to kind of sit back and let it happen. So if I can try and do something, it makes me feel better. It makes me feel like I'm not just letting this happen to me. I'm trying to be proactive and get out there and help other families and help my son mm-hmm. and try to eradicate this disease. I don't want this to ever happen to anybody else. I don't want any other parent or any other person to have to go through this. So you know, just, I'm sure just like you or anyone else, you, you kind of go through, you know, peaks and valleys of, you know, I can tackle this. And then other times you're just like, oh gosh, I just need to take a break, you know, regroup and then tackle it another day. Cause it's just, you know, it's just tough. And it's tough with kids because, you know, especially teenagers or adolescents, you know, they already got all this junk they're dealing with already. And then, then you throw a wheelchair and this other stuff on top of it. It's tough for them. I know it's just tough navigating it, but you know, they're very resilient. They are.
More resilient than we are. So, so I agree with everything Allie said. Like, I couldn't have said it any better. Caitlin's younger than Sam. So we haven't really hit, we're at preteen. So we're just at the point of rolling eyes and, you know, I'm not that smart in her opinion. we've just started down that path of, oh, mom. So, you know, and I think that there's those moments that I have to keep pulling myself back and saying, you have to let her be a kid. You have to let her go out there. I think that with every chapter, she keeps surprising us. You know, I never thought that she would be, we live in the city, so I never thought she would be independent, going with her friends down the street and roaming around the city after school. I just always figured she needed us. So I was like, would see teenagers walking. I would see 12-year-olds walking, 10-year-olds walking around the city with just their buds. And I'm like, oh, poor Caitlin, that's never going to be her. Well, sure enough, guess who's walking around the city now by herself with all her buds yelling at me when I'm tracking her on the app, being like, leave me alone.
Still kids. Right, right.
Yeah. So, you know, despite the limitations and despite the way that she has to live versus her friends, one, she's in a very amazing, inclusive community that we just, you know, we just are so thankful for. Her friends at age 10 are deeper friendships than I see most people have in their entire life. And they just support her. They make sure that she's there. They make sure that she, that there's a ramp there, that there's something that she can run her scooter by. And they have their eyes out for her. And it's amazing to me to see it. It's a side of life that I wouldn't have seen if she didn't have this. So we try to cling to those positives of what you see in humanity, what you see in how kids navigate this, but also just the resilience of these kids. I mean, every single kid I've met in this community that has had this disease has an outlook on life that's completely different than other kids. They're problem solving since day one. Because without us even knowing they had the disease, they knew they had weaknesses where they had to figure out how to get on a school bus when we didn't even know they were challenged with it.
Yeah.
They had to get down the street. We didn't know they were challenged with it. You know, the number of times before Caitlin was diagnosed that I yelled at her, like, come on, can you move it? Can you pick it up? Like, come on. You know, and now when hindsight comes back, I'm like, I was evil. Like, I had no idea. Like, why can't you ride so your bike like everybody else?
Right.
So, you know, but the resiliency that she has, and also what we're trying to teach her is that she has a voice, the activist in her. You know, so she did a whole FSHD walk and roll for the past 2 years. Her team raised more money than any other team in the chapter, and that became such a fire to her. She was like, "I'm going to take them all. I'm going to win this," you know, and so she's learning at an early age of things that she can control and that it's not all about FSHD. It's about accomplishments. It's about different things. It's about different lenses. And she has an empathy side to her that, that, you know, developed very early because of this.
When it came to, you made, you know, mention of the impact of her community of friends, you know, Sam's maybe community of friends, How was that initially, like, to kind of come out and tell people that this is what it is? And you know, how did all that play out, you know, from maybe the perspective, those that are listening, that maybe it might be walking into this, you know, and they're new and they want to know how to help their child navigate through that. So what was that like to kind of bring that out into their circles?
Well, Allie, I'll go first on this one because I wanted to crawl under a rock and tell nobody. I was like, this is our secret. This is our thing. I don't know how to navigate this. I don't know how to approach this. So my initial was like, under a rock I went. Caitlin went out in the world and told everybody. So I had no choice but to figure it out fast.
Right.
So again, we follow her lead. If it wasn't for her, I don't know where my husband and I would be emotionally. She guards us. She keeps us grounded. She moves us forward, and she shows us what life is about. It's she guides us.
That's awesome. How about
that is awesome.
Yeah. How about you, Allie, and the experiences Sam had with, you know, bringing you up to his friends and kind of letting them in on that?
So we're in sort of a unique situation. He was a very small rural school. He had like 12 kids in his class, and they had started together at kindergarten. They went all the way to eighth grade. Mm-hmm. So they were right there with him.
Okay.
You know, from when he was, you know, completely walking and running around the playground, then he started getting AFOs, and then he has a couple surgeries, and then he was in a wheelchair for a little bit. And then finally, when he promoted from eighth grade, he was in a wheelchair. So they were right there with him, and they sort of just, you know, witness the progression with him.
Yeah.
And they, like Kristen was saying, they were all very supportive. He had little girls when he was little, like, you know, second grade. I thought he could tie his shoe, but these little girls are always tying his shoe for him and doing things for him and getting stuff for him and getting stuff out of his backpack for him, you know? So he was always sort of second nature. And then we moved though, when he was in high school, mm-hmm. we moved to Tucson, primarily so he could be closer to physical therapy and doctors and sort of have some more opportunities that he didn't have in the small town that we lived in. And it was a little rough. It was very rough for him to move. And he's a junior now. He's still kind of, he's doing better, but you know, a lot of times he's, you know, he's in a chair and people make assumptions maybe about the fact that he's in a chair, but he's still very good. And I'm, when you're a mother, you're sort of protective, even when they're 16 years old. Like, but he, when I talk to his teachers and stuff, they say he's very good about asking for something if he needs it. And if he doesn't, if someone tries to help him and he doesn't need help, he's very good about saying, no, I got it. Like, I'm good. So he's learned already that, you know, sometimes you have to ask for help, but do most of the things that you can do on your own.
Yeah.
And just like Kristen said, he's already very, wants to advocate for himself. And, you know, he doesn't just take the first thing, like if a doctor says you need to do this or whatever, he's like, well, let me think about that. Let me see what I can do. So I think that's a great, you know, a great attribute to have, you know, just to say, I want to advocate for myself and I want to do this on my own. And then when I need help, you know, I'll ask.
But one point you did make, Allie, on, you know, how people treat them or how people look at them. You know, Kaylin's always like, why does everyone know who I am? And, you know, the standing out part. And so she's very much, as she's getting older now, she's getting very aware that people know her and she may not know them. But so then she's also, she gets really irritated by people who just stare. She's like, can't they say hi?
Ah, right. Yeah.
Super irritated. So she wants to start a t-shirt company with all her sayings, which is, you know, if you have nothing to say, look away.
Wow. But that's the truth, though, right? Yeah. Say hi.
You know, from the innocence of a child, like, that's the big things I've learned is like the innocence of a child. She's like, I don't get it. Like, so I'm different. Who cares? Just ask me. And, you know, and I think that a lot of us grew up in a world where you were told, don't stare, don't ask, don't, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas she's taught me, like, no, ask. Like, it's worse not to ask.
Yeah, I think I grew up in the same thing. You know, like my mother would, you know, slap me in the back of the head, like, stop staring, you know, or something like that. Like, well, I'm curious, you know, like, why is it the way that is, you know?
Right.
You know, like what's happened there that person is in that situation or whatever. And I think it would have been better if I just would have asked, but how do you ask? How do you ask someone that, do you think? Just ask.
Well, what I've learned from Kaylin is that she's like, just ask, be like, hey, why do you walk that way?
Mm-hmm.
Why, what do you need help with? And she also does, to your point, Allie, as well, she also does want her friends to acknowledge that she doesn't need everything done for her, you know, as much as she's a princess and would take it, she does want to do some things for herself. And that she's had to learn that balance with her friends of telling them like, oh no, I got this. You know, so she, it's more just being transparent and being like, hey, I'm just wondering why do you walk that way? You know? And that's not intrusive. That's just inquisitive. It's like, well, why is your hair blue? Right? Like,
yeah.
Asking questions. Why, you know, why, why all the differences that people have. You know, we're a big D&I community or society right now, and it's the differences are about asking and inquiring and learning. And that's something new for the older generations to get used to. But I think the younger generations have just, they're growing up with it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's also a good perspective.
Something that I hope that the early onset community can sort of help each other with. I know that there's some videos and things out there, right, Kristen, that, that we can maybe provide to families if they need to sort of show at their school or something to kind of explain how the differences and, you know, the reason why they're in a chair or things like that. So put together some of those resources. That's what we want to do. We want to create a resource page, not only for videos and things like that, but just kind of questions of where do I go to for, like, my son's trying to navigate driving and it's just crazy. But anything like that, like, what agency do I need to go to or where can I go? And we're going to link it to our page and then we're just going to add to it, you know, because every state's a little bit different. Every country's a little bit different, but places that parents can go to and sort of tap into those resources, or maybe just ask someone, like, you know, I'm always curious about asking someone whose child is maybe 2 or 3 years ahead of Sam, how did you guys navigate this? How did you work this? And that's why this community is so important, you know, just to feed off each other and say, how did you do this? What resources do you have? And, you know, we put in a lot of work. You know, so we need to share that with each other so that the next person come along doesn't have to work so hard,
We've done it in silos, and so we have opportunities to share that information out of, like, you know, hey, I'm seeing this as something that's starting to happen. What have you seen? Have you seen your children do this before? And there is no one place for parents to go to find out the information. Like, you know, when Caitlin, during COVID, she wasn't keeping up with her peers. We couldn't get her to walk because she would not walk with us. And, and, you know, it just, we're not fun. We're not kids. So, you know, you could see the decline happening and, you know, I didn't know the signs to look for of what we need to do or where you see weakness or where they can't move a certain part of their body. Is that an indication? I'm not a physical therapist. So, you know, although she's got a great team under her, you know, it's still knowing that road ahead, to Allie's point, talking to parents who have kids that are 2 or 3 years older that have been through it. I had Allie, but it's just one lens. It's just what she's had with Sam. It wasn't, and it's not exactly the same. So, you know, the more voices you have sharing that information, the more you can start to pull what you see as something that is parallel to your world, versus trying to figure out, okay, well, that's what she did. That's in her world, but they live in a completely different climate than us. So, you know, I have to navigate it this way.
Yeah.
And sort of just having that collective parent voice, I think is so powerful. You know, I don't think there's anything more powerful than, you know, a parent fighting for their child. And I think we can get these parents together. You know, we're a powerful force, you know, but it's just a matter of getting us all together. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that, getting us all together. When did this idea start then to create a chapter of early onset? Or wasn't it really that structure? Did it just kind of happen and off you went?
So I was sort of late to the game with the FSHD Society. We were big supporters of the MDA, and I didn't really know about the FSH Society all that much. And, you know, June had reached out to me and I started making some contacts, and then they asked me to be the Arizona chapter director. Wow. Yeah. And in conversations with Lee Reynolds, we were talking, and she had some experience with a nonprofit that she worked with before, where it was very similar to FSH, where they had a childhood version of that disease. And she's like, you know, we need to start something. And I know June had pushed for this as well, but Lee was like, let's start this. Do you want to head this chapter up? I'm like, absolutely, let's do it. Yeah. Like, let's get these parents together in a place where we can all come together and share resources and support each other and have, you know, some community. So that's sort of where it evolved from. And then I got on the horn to Kristen. I said, hey, Kristen, we're starting this chapter. Please help me. And she's like, absolutely. So that's sort of where we're at now. but Lee, it was Lee's idea. And it was a great idea. And we just now need to be able to reach out and find all these people, because that's the challenge, just finding everyone that's out there.
Yeah.
The commitment back for them to be involved, because it's not just the collective resources, but, you know, my, as June and everyone at the FSHD Society knows, my eye is on the prize and I want a therapy. And the kids are so far behind where the adult therapies will be if there is a therapy. And so getting that conversation to the table sooner as well is so important. And it takes all of us to do that and to bring about to the pharmaceuticals the fact that there's an active group of parents ready to put their kids into trials, that they want this and they need this. Because as Allie and I talk all the time, 1 month in infantile FSHD is like 1 to 2 years in adult, you know, the progression. You know, these kids are more rapid, and therefore 3 years to them is huge difference in their mobility, huge compared to the adult onset.
Yeah, it's wow. I mean, I didn't realize it was that much of a difference. That is scary.
It may not be. That's my good Tim. I'm not a scientist.
Well, no, but I think,
my husband will say I exaggerate everything.
But I don't want you to downplay that, you know, too much, because there is something to that, because we see it.
Yes, you know, definitely.
I mean, I met a young man. I traveled in the summer over to Omaha, into Nebraska for my oldest son's little baseball tournament or whatever. When I was out there, I knew an FSHD community person, and they wanted to meet up since I was traveling all the way from Wisconsin. They listened to the show, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, let's meet. So we went. I was at the College World Series, and they're baseball fans, which helps. But I met this young man for the first time, and he's, I think he's early college. Yeah, like just started. So I could see, you know, physical effects of the disease moreover than myself, and I have seen that commonly in people younger than me, to the point where I'm like, there's something to this. Like, this is happening to younger people faster. Like,
correct. And if we don't get therapy those children faster, then the trajectory and where they're going and their health and all of that is so much more impacted than the adult.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So, well, yeah, go ahead.
They never had a chance to grow any muscle, right? So it's almost like, you know, my son's got 6-year-old muscle almost in a 16-year-old body. And it's just, because in the later onset, and I don't want to minimize the struggles of the later onset. I know they have struggles and I don't want to minimize that, but you know, they never had a chance for their muscles to mature before they're being destroyed right away. So right away, like if you look at my son's arms, they're like this bone, like there's no muscle there because he never had a chance to mature, and he's getting taller and bigger, but his muscles are not mature enough, you know? So when the duct spore starts attacking it, when they're six, it rapidly, they don't have a chance to build any muscle.
Wow. In the community that you've been starting through this chapter, and looks like through social media, what's kind of the common things that the parents, the families, the kids are looking for? Is it more information about support or research? What's kind of the main things that you're finding?
Well, we're just in our infancy. We've only had two chapter meetings. Mm-hmm. But we sent out a survey, and we kind of, you know, polled the community on what sorts of things they were interested in learning. A lot of them want to know about research. You know, that's pretty much the number one thing, research. They want to know resources on, you know, how do I talk to my doctor? How do I talk to my school? How should I write if they need an IEP? How do I get that going? And you know, we can help them with a lot of that stuff. And just support, just talking to other parents, just, you know, we just had a meeting. We had Dr. Katz from University of Rochester on, and she talked to, you know, us just about, you know, basic, you know, things that health wise, things you need to make sure that you're getting done. Because I was noticing on some of the Facebook threads that someone, you know, because it's such a rare disease, some of the doctors, you know, they don't really know what to even tell their patients. Mm-hmm. So they're not doing the things they need to do as far as taking care of their eyes and getting their their pulmonary and cardio and stuff taken care of, and physical therapy. So share some of that stuff, but then also just talk to other parents about, you know, how did you do this? You know, I'm not alone in this. my child's going through this. And it's different because, you know, they're kids. So even, you know, my son's 16, and, you know, Caitlin's 10, there's a range.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's enough kids out there that are going through all this at the same time that we can help each other. So, but research is a big one, just trying to understand, because like we were saying before, it just when I think I understand it, then I realize that I don't. Like there's something else out there that I missed that I didn't understand. So, you know, knowledge is power, and getting them, you know, that knowledge and how, what the things that they need to do for their child to keep them active and moving, and hopefully get them in a trial. And also a place where now, if there's one spot that they know there's a lot of parents and there's, they have access to kids' records or whatever, now's a place for researchers to go to. Researchers can go, oh, FSA Society has this early onset. This is maybe a place where I can go to get some natural history or whatever I need. So now this is a resource they can tap into us, and maybe we can help them help us. Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
and unlike adults that I've learned in this society and talking with people, you know, adults aren't as good at going to the doctor. You know, we are, our kids are going to every 6 months, Caitlin's getting baselines. I mean, Boston Children's has got her records from age six to now she's turning 11 in a couple of months. Like we've got all that data of every 6 months. And then with her physical therapist, it's every 6 weeks they're doing testing on her strength. So we've got it all documented. I'm more than happy to turn that over to any researcher who wants it.
Right.
And I'm not the only parent that is doing that. Allie's got the same thing for Sam from 6 years old.
Yeah.
Like we've got more data that could be put into natural history of what's going on with these kids than probably the adult side, because you don't have to do anything. You just need to talk to these doctors to get the information.
Hmm. What has that been like to get that information to researchers or to get their attention? Has that been a struggle?
We're just starting, so I'm not sure that we have the answers to whether it would be a struggle to get that information to them or not. So again, as Ali said, this is very infancy starting. Yeah. It's really the first formalized. There's the parents group on Facebook, but that's nothing formal. This is the first formal. And Ali, when this is just 2 or 3 months old at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe 6 months. We've had two meetings, but I will tell you, doctors have reached out to me. I've had a few reach out and say, I want to be involved in this. I think it's time that we got more involved. So I think there's a need. And you know, I've reached out to a few and they've been receptive. They've talked to me, you know, just as a parent, I'm just like, you know, I just want to know what's going on. Can we have this? We have this group, we're here for you, and they want to be involved. A lot of them do. Hmm. So that's promising.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. To be only a couple of months in and you're already getting some responses.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I mean, because I can only imagine how frustrating it is from the vantage point of a parent. I think, Allie, you said it best. There's nothing worse than seeing something happen to your child. There's not much you can do about it. However, I think you guys are doing something about it, right? I mean, doing what you can. I think that's huge. I mean, for me, yes, I'm a parent, but I have the FSHD. I don't know if my kids have it. I don't believe they do, but they're still, you know, 15 and 12. So I can feel the anxiety a little bit with it, but from a parent's perspective, what's been kind of, you know, the common theme that's come across from parents, like new parents that find your group? Is it panic? Is it, you know, what do we do first? Is it just a lot of fear? What's kind of the common, you know, issue problem right off the bat?
Again, I haven't spoken to a lot of them yet, but you know, some parents are just, you know, they've dealt with it for a while and their kids at different stages and they need to talk about different things.
Sure.
Other parents have just expressed, like, you know, I have this issue with pain, you know, can you help me? What have you used? Just sort of advice, you know, just trying to get as much information as they can. I have not yet spoken to a parent who had a child that's just brand new diagnosed and called and said, oh my gosh, what do I need to do? The people that have come to our meetings so far have been, you know, they've been dealing with it a while and they just sort of want advice on how, what they can do for their kid. Mm. I hope, you know, with this, if we get the word out that there are those parents that, you know, that are out there that that don't know that we exist and they see this or they hear about us and they come to us because, you know, Kristen and I know a lot of other parents, we're more than happy to say, you know, come in, we'll help you as much as we can. You know, we're here to support you. We want all of these kids to keep moving and thriving. And it's good to hear, for me, I know also, it's so good to just hear from parents who had kids that are adults now who had an early onset and they're doing so well. They've gone to college, they've gotten degrees, they're living, you know, an independent life.
Yeah.
You know, it's just nice to see that, you know, just to know that, you know, it can't, you know, they can do that. It just takes some doing, but it's possible. And that's just great to see, if nothing else, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So I've talked to a lot of parents at different various stages through the course of my involvement with the FSHD Society. And I think that the main one is fear. Like, what is the future? You know, what you do with a parent, with a child, with a disease like this is you live in the here and now. You try not to think about the future. When you think about the future, it runs away from you and you're like, oh my God, I can't go there. So you spend a lot of time here. And you know, so it's fear of many different things, you know, of what does the future mean? How are they going to navigate this? The unknowns, like, it's just, there's no book for this, you know, there's books for teenagers, but there's no books for teenagers with a rare disease.
Right.
And so it's just really hard to navigate. And I think some people get very closed in and they go inward. And other people need to go outward. So I know, for instance, like my husband, he doesn't talk about it much. He, in his world, it's there, but it's not there like it is in my world. I need to talk about it. I need to do something. I need to get into it. I need to be in the middle of it. And he just is like, I'm living for today. Yeah. And so I think it's just a matter of who you are as a person and understanding that, you know, some people don't want the support. They, you know, they don't want to go on and only hear about the negatives. They want to just hear about the therapies, and some people want all of that. So it's so independent and such a different journey for everybody. So I think it's a matter of people recognizing and being able to say, this is what I need. But having that voice to say what you need, you know, like I was very early on, June was like, well, we could do support groups. And I'm like, no, I'm not a support group person. I'm a, like, let's move it forward person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you put me in a support group, I'm just going to be like, so frustrated. I'm not gonna be able to handle it, but other people need that. So it's a matter of letting us know what they need. And we'll be able to figure out through the society and all it has to offer. How do you give them that? How do you get them there?
For the group, for this new chapter, what are like some of the main goals? I think I can sense that it's definitely research, getting it more in front of doctors, that this part of this community needs to be addressed. But in your own words, not mine, you know, what is kind of the hopes as you grow this chapter?
Well, I think number one is finding a treatment and a cure for sure. You know, and Kristen and I are the same.
Making sure the kids are represented in
right.
The,
yeah,
and care.
And we're in the same mindset in that, you know, that, you know, they're the ones that you know, I think that there's a sweet spot somewhere within, you know, like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, where they're still mobile and moving around a lot. If we could stop it there,
yeah,
you know, and I think, you know, that they're a resource that, and parents are a resource that definitely needs to be tapped into. But beyond that, again, like I said at the beginning, I don't want anyone to feel like that they have questions and they don't know where to turn.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that the chapter is somewhere that they can at least turn. And again, we won't have all the answers, but, you know, we can certainly listen and we can help try and find the answers. And, you know, that's the main goal, that please, you know, don't be out there alone trying to, you know, Google up what FSHD is.
Right.
Come talk to us. You know, we can hook you up with, just like Kristen said, whatever you need. You know, if you just want the bare bones science, we can provide you that. If you need to talk to a parent, if you just need to vent, we're here to do that. I, you know, call me, talk to me, you know, I'll have time for whoever wants to call, or please join the chapter and let's work together to get this thing cured, you know?
Yep. But also, and share those best practices, you know, share the best practices of what's working, because out of that is where we can start to maybe create a playbook for parents who are getting kids that are newly diagnosed. Because the worst thing to be told is the progression is a flat line and you're not watching a flat line.
Man. Yeah. This is, definitely something that needs to be talked about more, and, brought more to the forefront. Just because it affects, early onset, or it affects the kids so fast. And, I can't wrap my head around how difficult that must be for someone young to deal with it. It's hard enough, like I said, for an adult person to deal with, let alone a child. So,
Tim, I will say that for the kids that are affected early on, they don't know any different. So sure. I think for kids that are diagnosed like Sam and Caitlin that are earlier, they've been digesting it. And it's not an acceptance. It's just a, this is the way it is versus a child at 17. Who's now got to be facing it. Cause I think that is much more of a, oh my God, what is going to happen? Versus kids who have been dealing with it their whole life. So I think there is a psychological difference for the real early ones versus the ones in late teens.
Is there an effect though, where you said, you know, they've kind of grew up with it for, you know, from right away, but do they see their more mobile, active, athletic friends and they're like, oh, but I can't do that.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they just know they can't do it. Like Caitlin's known her limitations since she was born. It's like amazing to us.
Yeah.
You know, there's, and it's not that she's accepted this. It's that she just deals with it. And she just knows it's part of her life. And she did tell me one day, she was like, I said, I wish I could take this away from you. And I had it. And she's like, no, Mom, because then I wouldn't be who I am.
That's a big grown up perspective, you know? Wow. Yeah. that is a big grown up perspective. Well, she's,
but there's a difference. There's a difference in where you are with something when you've just always had it versus when it's introduced at a later stage.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree, obviously, with that. Yeah, that is a great point. Now, for those that want to find out more about your chapter or to find you, I want this opportunity that you guys can, you know, share any contact info or anything you want to, you know, shoot out there to everybody that is watching, listening to this.
So we have a chapter page on the FSHD Society page. We have an early onset chapter page. We have email. You can email us at earlyonsetchapter@fshdsociety.org. I check those every day. You know, if you have a question, you shoot me an email. We will be publishing when we have our chapter meetings. We have Zoom meetings. We have a lot of people RSVPing to our meetings, but I don't know if it's the time change or what. Not that many people have actually showed up on the Zoom. So I hope more people will.
Okay.
You know, it's low threat. Just come on. You know, you don't have to say anything. You can just sit quietly and listen. Yeah. If you have a question, you can pipe up and ask a question, you know, whatever you want. You can pop in for a little while, you know, and then if you want to leave, you can leave. It's not anything that, you know, is super, you know, regimented and, you know, we're going to put you on the spot for anything. Just pop in and, you know, listen. And you just want to listen for a few times. And then sometime you come in, you want to ask a question, that's fine. You know, so I hope more people, you know, tune into the chapter meetings. If you have any questions, reach out. We're trying to put this resource page together. We may get another videos or some other things, whatever people need. If you have a need and we haven't thought about it, let us know and we'll try and work it out. The FSHD Society, Lee and June, they're very receptive about anything we ask them. Like, can we do this? They're like, yeah, let's do that. So,
excellent.
Contact us, call us, email us.
We need more people.
Yeah,
we need more people.
Yeah.
We need more people.
Yeah. Cause you know, they're out there, you know, they're out there. They just need to know. Yeah, absolutely. And I think those in the FSHD community, you know, maybe take a look at that page on fshdsociety.org early onset, and maybe take that little copy link and put it on your own social media. And maybe we just kind of start spreading it that way through our community, because I got a funny feeling that there's a lot more that just don't know. Might help just get the word out, you know, kind of like, hey, maybe you didn't know this is existing. This is here.
Right.
This is a resource. I think that's a great idea. We got to spread the word and get this to be more out in front instead of being kind of somewhat forgotten about. So Any final words before we let you guys go, Allie, Kristen?
No, thank you, Tim, for having us. I appreciate it. Thanks for helping us spread the word. I hope we reach a lot of families. And, you know, like I said, any family, if you're feeling alone, you need answers, you need support, you want to get involved and feel like you're doing something, you know, for me, it helps. It does, you know. So please contact us, get involved. We'd love to have you. And we're just parents. We're just parents going through it like everyone else. You know, we're nobody special. So please call us. You know, we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, you are special. I mean, let's just be clear there. You guys are special. But yeah, I know. You're not like, you know, rock stars or something that you're unapproachable. So that's good. You're kind of rock stars to me, though. Sorry, Kristen.
Oh, that's very nice. But we don't want to be in a band by ourselves.
Right. There you go. Well said. Well, thank you very much again for joining us. Thanks for being here. And we'll get the word out best we can through this vessel. And hopefully more will reach out to you.
Great. Thank you very much.
You bet. Okay, that was amazing to have those guests on talking about the early onset chapter. Special thank you to Allie and Kristen for being on. Let's take a quick break. Thank our sponsors. Let's hear from Dyne Therapeutics. You're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. You're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. FSHD Radio is sponsored by Dyne Therapeutics, a muscle disease company focused on advancing innovative, life-transforming therapeutics for people living with genetically driven diseases. Dyne is developing a broad portfolio of therapies for muscle diseases, including programs in facioscapulohumeral muscular dystrophy, myotonic dystrophy type 1, and Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. Utilizing its proprietary FORCE platform, Dyne is developing modern oligonucleotide therapeutic candidates designed to overcome limitations in delivery to muscle. For more information, please visit dyne-tx.com and follow Dyne on LinkedIn and Twitter. Welcome back to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. We had a great guest on this episode from the early onset chapter. We had Allie and Kristen on, and it was just really great to hear that perspective. Almost a shame on me for not even, you know, having this kind of topic more in circulation as we've done these episodes. I think we're up to like episode 64 or something and still have not really touched on it enough. And that's going to change because we need to bring this up to the front. Real quick before we jump to another break so we can thank Fulcrum for being a sponsor on the show here. We had a great walk and roll event. I hope those that were out there doing the walk and roll, either in person or virtually with us, as Lee Reynolds and myself were kind of bringing you amazing guests throughout the whole United States and Canada. Don't want to forget my friends from the North. It was amazing day. I am just still blown away by the response, what was raised, what was done, the energy. I also can't get over the fact that I have to get out there, I think, out in some of these walk and rolls. I don't know, because I'm missing out on like pancake breakfast, and I'm missing out on, I think someone was having like a barbecue or something. It was just amazing, the food and the fun and the music. You know, Heloise was performing with her band. It was awesome. And I think you can find all those pieces, I think, throughout the day, possibly on YouTube, the FSHDSociety.org's page. So take a look at that. We're going to take another break here. And when we come back on the other side of it, we'll go over some, you know, events that are coming up. And, you know, yeah, that's what we do here. You'll see the FSHD Society Radio Show. Today's FSHD Society Radio Show is sponsored by Fulcrum Therapeutics. Fulcrum is a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, advancing new medicines that target the root cause of genetically defined rare diseases such as FSHD and sickle cell disease. Fulcrum's approach to drug discovery combines insights from patients with rare diseases with the most advanced tools to identify and develop therapeutics that will target the root cause. For several years, Fulcrum has been honored to work with the FSHD community in efforts to build awareness of the impact of FSHD on individuals and families. Fulcrum works in partnership with leaders from the patient advocacy and medical communities to highlight the impact of rare diseases and support continued research. You can connect with Fulcrum on LinkedIn and follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FulcrumTX. Welcome back to the show, FSHD Society Radio Show. Don't forget you can contact me during the show. Here is fine, or after the show is always great too. FSHD Radio at FSHDSociety.org. I want to hear from you. Maybe there's a topic we have not covered. Maybe there's something you want to know about. Maybe there's a guest you want us to reach out to. Maybe you just want to ask me questions. That's fine as well. Reach out to me. I always want to hear from you, the community, the listeners. That's really what this is all about. This is how it started, you know, 60-some episodes back years ago. Just another resource to bridge the community together, and I'm honored to be a part of it and see you every month. And, yeah, so feel free, though, to reach out to me. That'd be great. Here is some news, things, events, whatever, coming up. More events, I think, than news. We are venturing into October now, as you are well aware, and what I'm finding is that we got a grand event, FSHDU. They're going to talk about pregnancy and reproductive genetic counseling with Sine Vincenten, MD, and Nicole Vormans. Hopefully I'm not butchering their names. And from Radboud University Medical Center. And they're going to talk about that. Check that out. October 21st, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Very interesting topics there for FSHDU. There's going to be a Chicago virtual chapter meeting on October 23rd, 10 to 12 p.m. That's all virtual. On the 26th, the Caregiver Hour from 8 to 9 p.m., always an awesome event. On that same day from 6 to 7 p.m., there's going to be the Virginia meeting as well. Let's see if I can roll through that. It's the monthly meeting, reoccurring event. Check it out. It's an informal conversational meeting where we all share ideas, frustrations, and life's little wins, they say. So join them there on the 26th of October. And then we move forward to, let's see here, through the 30th. Yeah. FSHD 360. That is a little take on something new here. As I grab my copy, Virginia Commonwealth University is one of the newest members of the FSHD Clinical Trial Research Network. With its director, Nick Johnson, has been a leader in the field going back to his early time. So he and his superb team of clinicians and researchers will answer your questions about your health, genetic counseling and testing, physical and occupational therapy, and much more. Learn about cutting-edge research at VCU as well. So check that out. RSVP before the event. That is the FSHD 360. That is happening on the 30th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Join in on that as we move into the month of November. Women and on Wellness. That is 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. This is our mutual support and social group for women of all ages who are living with FSHD. We created this women-only space to discuss health, self-care, and any other topics that we find easier to discuss with other females. Our group is hosted and facilitated by a group of volunteers. We may suggest articles and conversation starters to get each meeting going, but this is truly our space to share what's on our mind. And that is what I'm reading from the first Wednesday of every month. They're going to have this event at 5 p.m. East, 4 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Mountain, 2 Pacific. So don't miss it. It is Women on Wellness. That is November 3rd, 5-6 p.m. And check your time zone. Visit fshdsociety.org to learn more about that. Then we have, as we move forward, to the 6th of November, the Mid-Atlantic chapter meeting is going to be meeting up from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. The Western PA Drum and Roll. That's kind of a fun event. I heard a little bit about that during our walk and roll event, how they kind of are doing something a little bit different. So West Pennsylvania, they're doing from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. a life-changing event that unites families, friends, neighbors, and local businesses to forge powerful connections and strengthen our families and our community. It is a unique and amazing event. FSHD Warriors will come together to raise funds towards developing a treatment for FSHD muscular dystrophy. Looks like they're going to have an African music and dance ensemble at the University of Pittsburgh. Join in on that November 6th. Learn more, fshdsociety.org, of course. And then finally, to finish up the events, I believe we have the next one in the month of November before we have our next FSHD radio show is going to be the 8th, which is the Wellness Hour virtual 5 to 6 p.m. Check that out. That's a recurring event. So much to talk about. So much. Oh, man. It's just there's so many awesome things, so many things developed, and so many new groups coming aboard. So it's awesome. We're going to take a final break. We come back, we'll close up shop and give my final thought. And see you on the other side of the break. Today's podcast is sponsored by PerkinElmer Genomics, a market leader in biochemical and genomic testing solutions. PerkinElmer Genomics understands that obtaining a confirmed genetic diagnosis for FSHD can be a difficult and frustrating experience for both patients and their families. That's why their laboratory prides itself on launching new and innovative technologies to help families find answers that they are looking for. Just over a year ago, PerkinElmer Genomics introduced the first new diagnostic approach to FSHD type 1 genetic testing in nearly 3 decades. This testing has drastically decreased the time to diagnose while increasing accessibility to patients. Knowing the underlying cause of FSHD can have important implications for the entire family, including help with future medical management decisions. Speak with your provider today and learn more about how you can get testing. Visit PerkinElmerGenomics.com to find out more about available testing options for FSHD and other related neuromuscular disorders that may help you and your family today. That's PerkinElmerGenomics.com. Welcome back again to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for sticking out with us and hanging out and talking today. We talked about the early onset chapter with Allie and Kristen and how that is developing more numbers, even though they said it's in its infancy, but the growth is there. So please reach out. And I'm not kidding. The best way for us to do that is really get the word out by taking the link from fshdsociety.org, the early onset chapter link there, and send it out on your social media feeds and let people know that this is out there. This exists. It helps. It helps a lot of people. That's one thing that I can honestly say, that I'm absolutely just amazed by within this group, this community, the growth of the different, chapters and the different groups and the different things happening is really exciting. I mean, when I started this podcast, obviously it wasn't a podcast. I was happy to do it, you know, but there was only a small bit of chapters, or maybe there's some kind of, you know, I know Colorado was starting, the walk and rolls are kind of maybe an idea, but really not sure, not really super organized yet. Now that's massively organized, and we have more virtual events, and we have now a Woman on Wellness group. We have early onset chapter. We have the Caregiver Sharegiver Hour. We have all these resources from different perspectives of this disease that we're really kind of leaving no stone unturned, it appears, and finding every corner of this disease that it affects, you know, every corner of the globe, every person we're trying to reach out to and bring them together and join in with us. So thanks for being a part of this community. Thanks for having me in your ears for this last, you know, hour plus on another great podcast. A special thank you to Allie and Kristen to tell us about the early onset chapter, and we will have them on again in the future. We'll see you next month, so stay tuned for the next show. Visit more at fshsociety.org to learn more about our upcoming guests and other things happening in our community. Again, thank you, and have a great night. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.